You're listening to The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Chet West and Bill Patterson. Here's what's on deck for this episode.
They won the rubber match 4-1 with Tarek Skubal on the mound, and they got yet another series win.
Anything I eat is going to end up splattered down the front of me at some point in time.
That of Jake Rogers. Yeah. As much as we love the stash, he's got to start producing
the stash. I think Skubal is entering the JV rare air.
Tigers just finished a three-game set against the Baltimore Orioles in Charm City, Baltimore, Maryland. Chet, have you been to Camden Yards?
I have. I've been a couple times, actually.
It's lovely.
It's actually one of the ballparks of that era, that whole new ballpark phase we went through about 30 years ago or so. It's one of the ballparks they did right at that time.
I think it's the first one that was the sea change, because it was after the White Sox got their new stadium, the next new stadium was the O's.
And people saw that and they were like, well, if we can have that, that's lovely. But the cell was like a dump. It was like...
And the White Sox are like, how do we make our upper deck less steep? Mm-hmm. Just a quick recap for our listeners. Tigers had Monday off, and the good news is they have the next 5 Mondays off, counting this past June 9th. They went into Baltimore and they won 5-3 in game one. And then they did what the Tigers have been doing somewhat. They lost 10-1 in game two. It wasn't as uncompetitive as you would see the box score or the final box score. It really didn't get that uncompetitive until the 8th inning, when the bullpen struggled mightily, which we'll get to in just a moment. And then they did what this 2025 Tigers team does. They won the rubber match 4-1 with Tarek Skubal on the mound, and they got yet another series win, this time, you know, taking 2 of 3, and now they've taken 5 of 6 for the season against the Baltimore Orioles. A couple quick thoughts on Baltimore. Utah Street is the area outside the ballpark, and then there's a pub called Pickles. I've been there, and actually, I'm a big fan of the punk reggae band Bad Brains.
Yeah.
And they had a special beer made for them, and it's the only time I've ever seen that beer was at Pickles Pub.
I don't know why, and I don't think we've ever talked much about this, but I feel like I would have known Bad Brains was on your radar.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I have no reason to. I was like, I know exactly who he's going to say here.
Yeah, it's on brand for me. Anyhow, yeah. Great stadium, great people. The beer of choice.
Yeah, do your beer of choice. I want a
Natural Bohemian. Things. And it essentially, I did this when we played the Orioles last time at Comerica Park. Envision the Pringles mascot or logo, except this time he's winking. He only has one eye open, and they drink Natural Bohemian everywhere, or Natty Bo as they call it.
Yeah.
And it's a sweeter pilsner. I would comp it to Stroh's, you know, so there's probably a lot in common between Detroiters and those folks from Baltimore. They used to play at a stadium on the outskirts of town called Memorial Stadium. It was a multi-use back when they had the Baltimore Colts football team. So
it's National Bohemian is the name of the beer?
Yeah, Natty Bo. Yeah.
Natty Bo. It sounds like I've never had it. I don't even think I've ever seen it. It sounds to me like it would be a dead ringer for like a microbrew, but you're describing it as a Stroh's like beer?
Yeah.
Is this the Yingling of Baltimore, or what are we doing?
Natural Bohemian is their beer, meaning they being Baltimore, and they drink it everywhere. It's good certainly during a hot day, which it gets hot there in the Inner Harbor. It quenches your thirst. It's not too high in alcohol, and I'm sure it's made. I don't think it's made there anymore, and I think it's made by one of the giants in Bev or, you know, Miller Coors or whatever. That's all irrelevant. It's delicious. It's Baltimore's, and they can claim it.
I'm going to ask you, would you pair a Natty Bo with the Chessy? Do you know what that is?
I do, but I'm going to play dumb on this. Please tell me.
I'd like to tell you. So I like to go through. I haven't been to every ballpark in the league like you. But before we go on an away trip, I like to go through the foods of the ballpark. They have a section of MLB.com where you can go into there and they'll give you the whole menu. And I'm scrolling through the other night looking at what can I eat at Camden Yards. There are their signature dishes. per the website, are the Warehouse Burger, which looks like something that would cause all sorts of lower GI disasters. I'm not even going to go into that. It just looks like a giant cheeseburger topped with queso fundido, fried onions. Oh, God, I think I just, yeah. So there's another one called the Submarine, okay, which is like a crispy beer battered locally caught fish thing. They describe it as, it's got some Creole mustard and tartar sauce, like something you'd expect to get at Camden. And then they have the Chessy. And I would probably break religion and try this thing out at a ballpark. It's a hot dog, but it is not like a Chet hot dog. Okay. This is not something that's been slathered in its own oils and just sitting forever. This thing is, it's a foot long Chesapeake spiced sausage smothered in a creamy crab dip with pickled sweet corn and fried green tomatoes served on a pretzel bun. Just split from the top. That is the look of it just looks incredible. So I would break with my normal and I would go with something like this in this instance. You would,
if we were together, could we get
me to go that way?
Could we get a plastic knife and maybe cut that thing in half? Because that's,
I don't know if you can cut that in half. I think too messy. It would be a gong show.
That's one of those ones you get both hands. It's a two-hander.
You're not walking around with this in your pocket, Bill. You're sitting down. You're taking a minute for yourself, and you're going to jam this in your face. It's going to be all over your shirt, all over your pants. It's going to probably be beautiful, but it's called the Chessy. If you're ever in Baltimore, somebody eat this thing and give me a review on it. If you want to put it in your comments down here, please do. Put it in the show comments.
There might be a T-shirt.
Give me something on this because I want to know what these things are like. I want to know if they look as good as, or taste as good as they look.
Anyway, images would be helpful too.
Images would be great. If you've got images of it smeared all over your face, that's even better.
There could be a t-shirt in your future. I've got one more food and then I've got a question for you. So on a messy item like this, where, you know, both hands need to be committed to, you know, a foot long item.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to do that one handed. That's too much variance or.
I mean, when I make my messes, I do it at least with some care. I want both my hands in the mess.
Okay. You and I are 100% aligned on that. What do you feel about standing over one of those metal counters that they have at most ballparks that look out over to the field? So you can kind of do a stance, but you also bend the knees a little bit, get your elbows down on the counter and eat over the counter.
Like you're eating at a trough of sorts while you watch the ball game.
Like you're eating like an Italian beef. It
it's kind of against the wall. At the
Mr. Beef or something like that. Yeah. Would you prefer sitting in your seat with napkins all over your lap?
No. Okay. Not at the ballpark. You stand, you stuff your face, you make a little mess.
Which brings us back to the...
Yeah.
It brings us back to the beauty of the Chet dog steamed in its own oils and juices is that it's really mess free.
It is. Well, that's mustard on it. That's the point. Anything I eat is going to end up splattered down the front of me at some point in time. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Anything I eat with any sort of a sauce or any sort of a garnish, anything, it'll end up on me. So sometimes I plan my outfits for the day around what I'm going to eat at lunch. How will that blend with the sauce? That's what I go with.
Very fair.
It's, you know,
and you do know, in one of my notes, loyal listeners, I did notes from the White Sox series. I did have a copious amount of mustard and onions.
We had that in the last episode. I know. It was in the montage.
Do you know why? Because I didn't heed my own advice and go to the metal stand and put elbows down and do it that way. I tried doing it from my seat with napkins in my lap, and guess where I didn't have napkins? Right down the middle of the plate.
Because unless you're going to put a weird napkin bib in, that's going to happen.
Last food thing, and then we'll talk some baseball. Boog Powell was a famous Oriole. Yep. Boog's Barbecue is located there. And
it seems like an automatic.
Yeah, it's a pit barbecue. It's essentially a roast beef that they smoke and then slice thin. They put very thinly sliced white onions on it with a really nice horseradish sauce. Don't think horsey sauce from, say, a fast food restaurant like Arby's. Think more like a good prime rib restaurant.
Sure. You're
kind of somewhere between that. A little bit on the thinner side, delicious. And I would say that covers our food for Charm City. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what happened on the field.
Hey, Tiger fans, you know what's more frustrating than a bases-loaded double play? When your small business is striking out with technology problems. That's why our good buddy, Brett Danis, created Summit Tech Partners. Brett's a Michigan guy through and through and a lifelong Tigers fan. And Summit provides the perfect relief pitcher for your IT needs. While their services throw you generic fastballs, Brett's team will scout your business and develop a customized game plan specifically for your small business.
While you're keeping track of ERA and RBIs, Brett's team will handle your IT infrastructure. His team will monitor your systems like a hawk-eyed umpire, catching problems before they become major league disasters. Summit has a full roster of IT services that'll keep your business safe and running smoothly, so you can spend less time troubleshooting and more time watching torque bombs.
Visit homerun.support today for your free consultation.
Summit Tech Partners, where your small business is always the MVP.
Game one, 5-3, Tigers were in control the entire time. The Tigers are now tied with the Mets, depending day to day, for the best record in baseball. They are currently on pace to win 106 games this season. I will keep with the superlatives, but the negatives, I just don't have that many.
Yeah.
Because this team is so resilient and they find ways to win games that maybe they shouldn't other teams wouldn't. So I'm just going to go through our heroes. Our guy Chase Lee moved to 3-0 with a 2.50 ERA. He got the win in game one.
Did you see how he got that win?
Tell us about it.
It was a third of an inning. He pitched a third of an inning. It was a timing deal. Pitched a third of an inning with 1K, and he got the one out that he got was a strikeout. So he got a win for finishing out the third inning, basically.
Well, you know what? Somebody had to get it.
Somebody had to get the W. When it's chaos, when it's pinches chaos, somebody has to get the W. Yeah.
So I'll just go through the notes real quick. Will Best got save number 11. His ERA is below 2 at 1.89 ERA. This is the best closer we've had since Todd Jones, in my opinion.
I think I agree with that.
Yeah. So highlights. Spencer Torkelson was awesome yet again. And the Tigers, after this win, moved to 20 games over 500 for the first time since the 2013 season, which loyal Tiger fans will remember. That's probably the best roster the Tigers had had possibly in our lifetime. And what happened that season is they ran into a buzzsaw in the ALCS against the Boston Red Sox. Yep. And the season was just kind of... like when it was all done. Other news and notes, welcome back Sawyer Gibson Long.
Yes.
4.2 innings pitched, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 5 strikeouts. He probably should have gotten the win.
Yeah.
On that's a what future I was episode.
That was kind of my point. Like, here's Sawyer Gibson Long gets 4.2 innings, does great. One run, and Chase Lee steals it with a third of an inning. But that's why wins and losses, that's kind of garbage. So.
Yeah, Zach McKinstry, Z-Mac, 2-for-4. He had 2 triples, which I still would say is the most exciting play in baseball. And he is a league leader right now in triples for the season. So that elevates him to my guy status for the fact that I just love the triple, and he is executing upon that. What other thoughts do you have? Because I don't really have a whole lot of
other superlatives. I don't have a lot from that game. Really happy to see Torque get the home run. That was obviously a difference maker in that game. He's just going to be the guy who hits 240, but might pop 25 to 30 home runs for you in a season. That's kind of my hope for him, I guess, at this point.
I think he's going to hit more than that.
Yeah, you may. I will say 30 is what my line is, my expectation at this point.
Okay, I'm going to go over.
He's going to cool off at some point. I mean,
for some natty bows, I'm going
to
go
over. Okay, all right. Okay, we'll put it on the tab.
All right, you ready to move to game two?
Let's do game two. I want to say something to start things off here. Casey Mize has actually been quite good this season and a little more of what we always thought we were going to get with him. He spun another decent game. Was it his best of the season? Probably not. But he went 5 1/3, gave up 2 runs, 2 walks, 7 Ks. That's a decent line right there. And they didn't hit him hard. They didn't hit him hard. They did. Westberg tagged him for a home run, but on the whole, the team didn't go off on him or anything. Your guy, Cedric Mullins, who you want to trade for, went 2-for-4. two doubles on RBI. But on the season, Sed is not doing that great. I have questions, and for our trade primer talk or trade deadline primer talk, I have questions for why you really want Sed Mullins. I don't want to get into it now, but let's do a little of our own research both ways. And he's, you have a affinity for him, and I'm not sure quite why, because he seems like a lot of what we already have. And just watching in this series, I kind of picked up on that too.
He is. Can I give you my short answer?
Short, go.
I envision a lineup with just pick whoever's batting leadoff, then Torres, Carpenter, Green, Torque, Mullins. And I think that's probably the scariest lineup you could possibly have outside of the New York Yankees in the American League. That's my point.
Okay. I don't think it depends. As big a needle mover, but maybe that's a, we'll see what happens if we ever get him.
Well, I just think if that were your combo, and I'm still kind of waiting for Colt Keith to come around. Meadows is not hitting, if we want to talk about some negatives. If I can circle back though, Casey Mize was part of the solution in this game. When he left, it was a 2-0 ball game. The Tigers' bats were dormant yet again. For the game, they only scored a run. We know that. They had 5 hits. Another error. They had one in game one as well. And I've heard a lot of talking heads say that they're fine with Parker Meadows just manning a good center field. But his 161 average, he struck out 3 times in this game. His OPS is a woeful 536 for him. And by far, outside of Jake Rogers, the lowest OPS in the Tigers lineup. I've got tons of superlatives for this team and kudos, but Jake Rogers is not playing well. 132.
Like a bad backup catcher right now.
Yeah, 417 OPS. And the problem is you can't send him down and bring up Nito, even though we know what Nito is. He's a career Crash Davis from Bull Durham, who happened to be really, really hot. But at some point, you're going to see more and more of Dylan Dingler. In this game, they actually pinch hit him and brought him in. He didn't do a whole lot, per se, but still his 284 batting average and 757 OPS is demonstratively better than that of Jake Rogers. Yeah. As much as we love the stash, he's got to start producing
the at the stash plate. Only goes so far. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. We love looking at the stash, but I don't love looking at a 132 average at this juncture.
Sidebar, can you imagine him eating the chessy and
The stash,
the debris caught in the stash.
Eating the chessy with a stash like that would be like dragging the infield between innings. It would just be, it'd be all over the place in there.
Yeah, you couldn't even do that with like a gym, you know, the black combs.
You comb it out after that. How do you get rid of all that?
You'd have to wash it with shampoo. I think
get all the corn and the sauce and everything. Anyhow,
can you imagine just Old Bay just littered in that thing?
Just kind of saving it for later. Just lick it. He gets on the first base and he just licks it a little bit. And you're like, oh, he's licking the Old Bay off his stash.
He's rubbing his stash, giving a little bit to the first base coach.
I agree with you on Roger. Like there's going to be a certain point in time where we're just going to have to accept him as the defensive catcher and the once every 3 games, 4 games catcher. I looked at this game, though, outside of Casey Mize, the pitching. Tyler Holton came on, did an inning and a third and gave up a run. I kind of have come to expect that if Tyler Holton has to pitch for longer than an inning, he's given up a run. At some point, he just doesn't have the longevity to keep zeros on the board there. Brennan Hanfey.
Can I comment on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Too much utilization for Holton and Hanfey. I'm giving those guys a hard pass on this, but let's talk about Bo Brisky.
I think he's seeing the end of his. There's no way he stays up if he keeps pitching the way he has. He gave up in the third of an inning. He got rocked.
Yes.
I mean, 3 hits, 5 runs, 2 walks, no Ks. Gave up a dinger. That's 25 pitches worth of work right there. Bo Brisky, I don't know what's gone wrong with you. I see a stint on the IL or a send down to AAA to figure things out. I don't know. One or the other. I don't know what we have left with him on options and everything else. But
I did some research.
Yeah. What do you have?
He can get sent down 2 more times. So okay.
He's got a couple of options left.
Yeah. I think sometime in Toledo would. Yeah. Because he's tried everything and he just has no location. If I can circle back to Mize, remember how we talked about the last couple Mize starts that his location was just nowhere to be found, especially last Thursday, you know, in Chicago against the White Sox. His location was great in game 2. unlike Bo Brisky, who seems lost, I fully expect Bo Brisky to be sent to Toledo. They'll let number four work this out, and let's hope we see him again. Because Bo Brisky was good for us last year.
Yes, he was. He was very good for us, especially down the stretch. I remember Brisky being super solid down the stretch. Mize started this game a little wild and ineffective. Like, he just couldn't seem to find things. And then he brought it around, which is great. Shows me a pitcher making adjustments to get himself on track, which is awesome. If he can ever get some of these control things and just find the plate a little more, I do wonder what kind of turn he can end up taking at some point.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Casey Mize still.
Yeah.
CXG believes in the visual art of storytelling, whether it's through film, video, live events, or podcasts just like this one. Our mission is to connect audiences through powerful, authentic stories that leave a lasting impact. CXG is proud to support the Litter Box because great stories deserve to be seen and heard. Learn more at cxgfilms.com.
What do you have for the rest of game two? Do we want to move on to game three?
Let's talk about the good, which is game three.
A decidedly more happy outcome. The 10-1 game and the Bo Brisky implosions behind us. We got game three. We saw some interesting stuff in this game, but the most interesting thing was a Parker Meadows batting in the 9 spot and tagging his first home run of the season.
3 RBIs. He did K twice, so his
not out of the
batting average is still not looking great. We'll
take the dinger.
Yeah, 171, but he moved his OPS up to 618. The story of this game outside of Parker Meadows' 3-run dong, which we love it. Bat in the 9 hole, play mean defense in center field, and if you can contribute like this and get that average line up to maybe 250, you're good, 240. And we'd take it. Tarek Skubal was Tarek Skubal. He got the win. He's now 7-2. He pitched 7 innings. He allowed 3 hits. Oddly, he walked 2 batters, which for anybody else over 7 innings would be considered, you know, he walked a couple guys. But for Skubal, it was kind of raised an eyebrow. He did strike out 6. His ERA is now below 2, 1.99. And then Cannelly came in and did his magic. He allowed over an inning, 1 hit, 1 run. That was an earned run, walked 1, and did allow a dinger. But his ERA is still 1.50. Nobody can really hit that changeup outside of...
He has his moments where I watch him. I'm like, he's struggling. And then all of a sudden he pulls it around and finishes out an inning. But like, they did tag him for the run. He's been a little up and down, Cannelly.
Yeah.
Like, he has times when he's out there and he's dominant and you're like, wow, this is why we got this guy. And then he has times when you're like, ooh, what's going to happen here? It's kind of 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vest closed it out. Your guy.
Save number 12. Yeah.
2 strikeouts. He did well.
Yeah, going through, I liked the batting order that we had. So you had Jamai Jones in DH. He got 1 at bat. And then Colt Keith was brought in as a pinch hitter, designated hitter. He did not do as well. Jamai Jones basically went 1-for-1.
Yeah.
And then Colt Keith went 0-for-3. Torres has cooled off quite a bit these last 3 weeks. He went 0-for-4. Mm-hmm. Riley Green it seems like Green's either on or he's off. This was just a weird game. He walked twice and struck out twice, and both strikeouts didn't look good. And the walks, his eye looked great. I'm still waiting for him to completely click, because it does not seem like Riley's seeing the ball as well as he maybe could. Again, no complaints. He's playing well.
Yeah.
Torque got a walk. Torque also got a strikeout, but that's, you know, what's going to happen. A guy that I'm starting to get a little bit concerned about is Kerry Carpenter. He was in the fifth hole.
Yeah.
Struck out twice. And then Adam Palmer's guy. He's in a little
slump right now.
Yeah. Dingler had himself a game, 1 run, 1 hit, 1 RBI. He struck out once.
He tagged a home run. He and Parker Meadows were the runs this game, basically.
And then Z-Mac got 2 hits, and Javier Baez got 2 hits as well. So
Javier came through.
It was a good team win, and this team's so resilient. The thing I admire most about what A.J. Hinch and the coaching staff and the fortitude and mental attitude of this team is, even after they have a dud, Bo Brisky, the bullpen blows up in game two, they just come back, they put their stamp on it, and they take care of business. I researched it and cannot figure out why that wasn't a day game yesterday. Typically you fly out in the afternoon after a game like this. I don't know why it was flexed that way. And now the Cincinnati Reds come to Comerica for a 3-game set, 7:10 tonight, 1:10 tomorrow, and then 12:05 Sunday. So we're back to, you know, a more normal cadence with the schedule. Monday's off, and then the Pittsburgh Pirates come to town for three games.
Very, very excited for the Reds series. Ellie De La Cruz, dynamic player. It'll be cool to see him. They got a couple of young players that I'm pretty excited to watch.
Crew regionals, Midwest regionals are in Cincinnati, and I went to Dick's Sporting Goods to get Grady, my son, and some items that he needed. Purchased a LA De La Cruz player t-shirt, which is never for me.
Okay.
But I find him to be possibly the most exciting player.
Yeah.
Or one of the most exciting players in baseball.
Yeah.
He's huge. He's like a 6'4" shortstop.
Yeah. That
absolutely flies around the bases. He should be a 5-tool player, but he doesn't yet hit for great average. We'll see if that happens in his career. He's a little bit of a free swinger, a la Javi Baez, not Javier. And I'm excited to see him.
I think it'll be interesting. I think it'll be
I think it's going to be a fun series. I agree with you. I actually like the tweak to the schedule. I made an error in one of our first pods talking about how you used to play division opponents 18 times.
Yeah.
That has changed over the last few seasons. Yep. And now you only play your division opponents 13 times. And I think it's for the better because now you play everybody in Major League Baseball at least once. Interestingly enough, we get the Pirates twice. I've been saving this nugget all season. Mm-hmm. Guess who our National League geographic rival is? The Pittsburgh Pirates. Is
it the Pirates? It's got to be, right? They're the closest, other than the Cubs, maybe. But I think
the Cubs already have the White Sox.
Yeah. So it would have
to be the Pirates. And the Reds have the Guardians.
And I think we've covered this in past seasons. Like, I've seen the announcers kind of cover, like, the Pirates are kind of their geographic rival, and they've both been in the league forever. So
it's kind of fun, though, because the Pirates are terrible. So in a year that the Tigers are playing well.
Yeah.
We could do a lot worse than playing the Pirates six times. Yeah. So,
and they got a guy, they got a couple guys, a couple of young guys that are fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you hope to get to see Skeens. Maybe you don't hope to go up against him, but get to see what the hype is all about there. O'Neill Cruz is kind of like a poor man's Ellie De La Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
He's quite talented himself. And you've got guys like Ke'Bryan Hayes that can do some damage to you. And of course, the ageless wonder, McCutchen.
Yeah.
Andrew McCutchen, who's back with the Pirates now over the last two seasons, kind of closing out what looks like closing out his career. But I saw him the other night running just fine. So he looks like he could play for a little while. What else you got for us today?
Well, I mean, we've got big news.
Yeah, we do. We do have big news.
Let's talk about Jackson Jobe and the fact that what could have been, had he stayed healthy, a potential Rookie of the Year season, although typically Rookie of the Year does not go to a starting pitcher because of the every 5 days, so on and so forth.
They get limited. They'd have to really, really come out and do something.
That being said, I thought he was playing as well as any rookie this season.
I thought he was pitching as well or better than Mize at times. He put in a lot of workmanlike efforts. Like we said, his stat lines weren't crazy, but he constantly kept us in ball games. And for a rookie starting pitcher, that's what you want. I mean, that's great.
Very high ceiling, and who knew what the floor would be. Unfortunately, let's not bury the lead. What happened in his elbow, his last start, turned out to be more serious than anybody thought, and he has to have Tommy John surgery. And I don't want to make light of it because although it's very commonplace in today's baseball because of the spin rate and how hard everybody throws, starting pitchers, relief pitchers, it's still a fairly invasive surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the pleasure of meeting Tommy John at a sales conference one time, arguably the nicest, if not top three nicest professional athletes I've ever met. It was kind of a slow period.
It's always good to hear.
So I went over to, he was signing, you could either get a White Sox photo of him or a Yankees photo of him, and he would sign it. Cool. I got one for my son, Grady, and ended up just chatting with him because it was slow. And
Why not?
And he told me that he had no idea what his arm would feel like because he was the first to get the surgery, hence his name being named after it. And he thought he was already looking for another job because he had a family to feed and thought that his career was over and never thought that his career would be rejuvenated. And he was the first of many. And not only was he a nice guy, talked to me for probably the better part of an hour about ball, which was great. He's also someone that I think is so deserving to be in the Hall of Fame, if not for his career, which looks really good, especially by today's pitching metrics. But also you take a look at the fact that they friggin' named a surgery after him. I mean, we say Tommy John more often than we say just about anything else in baseball. I'm not one of those old school purists that needs, you know, hey, you can't vote for somebody on their first ballot. You know, Ichiro, you can't vote for him. And if, come on, the guy's a Hall of Famer. Does he look like a Hall of Famer or not? And I think for the lexicon and the surgery changing the game, Tommy John deserves to be in for that. But then you look at he had more than 200 wins, which nobody today is going to, you know, Scooble would be, there's no way he's going to get there. And I just think he deserves it. So that's my Tommy John surgery.
Do you want just one little tidbit about the first Tommy John surgery ever performed on Tommy John was done by Dr. Frank Job.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
I think he's still doing surgeries.
Is he? No, he's not. He's passed. He's passed away.
He's sarcastic.
He's passed away a long time ago. He died.
He and James Andrews out of Birmingham, Alabama, were like the original.
James Andrews is like the modern day Tommy John guy. So we've got the bad news with Job. Okay. Yeah. We had a tickle of news this past week with Scooble, who had yet another wonderful performance yesterday. We've kind of just glossed clean past Scooble's performance, basically saying, it wasn't quite as dominant as his normal start, but he held them to no runs again, seven innings, whatever. I mean, we've gotten to the point where every Scooble game, we just expect dominance. Best pitcher in baseball right now by far. Where would you rank him between Justin Verlander at his peak, Max Scherzer at his peak? Would you put Scooble ahead of them, in the middle, at the end?
Well, Scherzer wasn't a Tiger as long as his JV was.
Yeah.
And JV, you know, the no-hitters. Mm-hmm.
It's kind tough of resonated. It's tough to surpass JV at this point.
And we really hadn't had a great dominant starter since Dan Petrie and Jack Morris. And I guess Frank Tanana, but like Frank Tanana felt kind of like Max Scherzer. I always associated him with other teams. Sure. Like when I think of Scherzer, for whatever reason, I think of him as like a Diamondback or a National. I don't think of him always as a Tiger first.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And Tanana was a seasoned vet that same way by the time he got to the Tigers. So
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I understand you.
I think Scooble is entering the JV rare air. And I guess, do I have to?
You don't have to rank him. Yeah, it was more of a thought process I had the other night. I'm like, where does he sit? He's not quite JV.
I mean,
he might be equivalent to Scherzer at this point, maybe.
I
need to see it happen for a longer duration of time. We'll put it that way. And in the middle of that game last night, he started stretching his back out. He went down for treatments. You know, Danielle Bruce kind of reported on it from the sideline, and everybody's sitting here holding their breath going, why is he stretching in the dugout? Apparently, it was blisteringly hot out and muggy and gross, and he was possibly just getting some fluids. So let's hope that's all it was, or it was heat and he was just trying to keep himself from locking up or something. I don't know. But at any rate, he kept pitching for multiple innings after that. And obviously, I don't believe there was any issue. So let's not.
He's a warrior.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we have become so spoiled
he's been on seven innings. Yeah. We're spoiled.
Yeah.
Spoiled fans. He was on the radio show this past week talking about contract stuff. Pardon my take. And they were like, what about 10 years and $45 million a year? And he kind of said there, he's like, that sounds great. And so everybody's like, oh, that's what it's going to take to sign him now. Great. We know what Scooble wants and needs. I don't think we're going to lock him down prior to free agency at this point. I suppose being a pitcher, and he's already had TJ, so he's already gone through his rites of passage with Tommy John surgery. It is a rite of passage now for pitchers.
It is.
Right? Like, it's just something that happens, and many guys get Tommy John and go on to become Cy Young. So it's not like it's a, it's a major problem. You just lose them for a year or two. We're going to lose Jackson Jobe for a year and a half, probably. We'll see him in 2027 at this point.
Absolutely.
Maybe at the end of 2026. It's why I don't want to spend the farm for a guy like Skeens. Everybody talks about Paul Skeens. He hasn't had Tommy John yet, guys. Okay? He's still got to go through his rites of passage. So, and when he does, he'll be gone for a season and a half to two seasons. And you look at that, okay, they have 5 years control right now, but does it become two or three real quick? Then what do you have? So I just look at young pitchers that way. It's like they're on the verge of their arm exploding at some point. When's it going to happen? But Skubal's already had that. Would I be willing to give him $450 million? Sure, it's not my money. But at the end of the day, what do we risk? What do we lose out on if we're paying all that money? We are not the Yankees. We are not going to have a $250 to $270 million a year payroll. So what do we lose out on? Where do we make those? You know, is it just we're hoping for youth in the field for the rest of the time? Maybe. I don't know. I don't think we're going to find anything concrete out on Skubal for a while. I think we're going to be going through this for the next season and a half.
I agree with you. And again, not my money, but I think that's a lot of money that could be spent in other ways.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Tarek Skubal is approaching, I believe, when his contract is up at the end of next season, he will be 30 years old.
Yep.
I don't know if that's during the season or I just don't know when his birthday is or off season. I would not want to extend an age 30 pitcher for 10 years, even if his name was JV or Tarek Skubal or Max Scherzer. The odds just aren't in your favor in that. Pitch him is every 5 days. Let's enjoy this. Let's remind ourselves what we're watching. It's JV and Max Scherzer in their prime like, and let's just enjoy it for every start that we're getting. And if I were the Tigers and Scott Harris and Chris Illich, I probably would wait and to see what the new CBA is. You could be on the hook for a ton of money for a guy that has already had TJ and that's the wrong side of 30. It just too much
couldn't
doesn't make sense.
I not agree okay. more. All those All things right. taken into consideration, we need to think about. And if this does lead into a future episode, we're going to do a little trade deadline talk. Get things going, even though we're about, 7 weeks away from the trade deadline at this point still. So many things can happen. But the world is starting to talk about the Tigers being buyers. And Scott Harris made some obvious comments this week. Yeah, I hope we're buyers. Doesn't everybody? He didn't really commit to anything incredible, but he got the juices flowing. So we're going to talk about it in a future episode. So, Bill, let's prep up some trade ideas, some thoughts. We'll have those for the next episode, possibly, or episode or two. We can discuss about that. Anything else you want to close out with, Bill?
We appreciate you all listening to the Litter Box and chat. Go Tigers. And let's
go
hope
Tigers.
I'm going to say they take two or three against the Reds. It just seems to be what happens these days.
I feel like that's the expectation at this point. Yes. Anything less than that, and I'm going to come on here and be disappointed. So go Tigers. Get two out of three at least.
Listeners, you don't want to see disappointed chat.
No. Have a good one,
we'll
folks.
Talk to you all soon. See you. Bye.